Hello, Bible believers. Well, don't you agree that it's time to get back to the Bible? We say we're a people of the book. Do you believe everything that is in the book? Do you believe what's in the Bible if it contradicts your church doctrine? Do you believe what's in the book if your preacher said something different last Sunday? Are you a part of a church where they simply are loyal to denominational traditions? Are you part of a church where they openly stand for the Word of God? My friends on this broadcast, we're neither Protestant nor Catholic nor Jewish. We love everybody, but we want to go back before all of that and take the Bible only. And as we have said over and over, we just want to be Christians only. I was born and raised in a New Testament church that was carved out of denominationalism. My home church, the Ocean View Church of Christ, practically the entire congregation came either from converted Methodist or Presbyterians. On my side of the family, we had converted Methodists and Presbyterians, and they were devout people that believed the Bible. And when they were shown more truth, instead of getting their back up, they decided they better do what the Bible says you have to do. And so they came out of denominationalism. And I can say I'm thankful for the teachings that were true that they got in denominationalism. They were taught to respect the Bible. That's one thing that old-fashioned Protestantism did in early America. They taught people to respect the Bible. And if you have someone that respects the Bible more than tradition, then you have someone that you can work with. But if you're dealing with somebody that's going to get their back up, if you say anything about their man-made denomination, then you have a problem. And so I'm thankful for those of you that believe the Bible out there, but what I'm doing is trying to preach to you Protestants and you Catholics and to tell you that it's wrong to be in Catholicism, it's wrong to be in Protestantism. You need to come out of that. You can organize a New Testament church right there in your own home. The New Testament church has no headquarters but heaven, and so you don't have some kind of a contract to sign. You can call people together from your congregation that want to take the Bible on and be Christians only. They want to wear the Bible name. They want to follow the Bible plan. They want to meet around the Lord's table like they did in Bible days. You can meet in your home, and you'd be better off in your home fellowshipping and organizing a church in your home than to be sitting under some fancy preacher that is leading the people astray and leading people down the road of denominationalism instead of down the road of truth. And so don't say that I'm trying to get people to come to me. God forbid, if you can't find anybody any better to come to than me, my, it's a pitiful situation. But what I'm telling you is let's go to Christ. Let's organize New Testament churches in homes and barns, and let's come out of denominationalism. Let's get back to the old paths. And I'm beginning to believe that many that claim to believe in New Testament Christianity, I'm not so sure that a good part of them don't need to be converted all over again and come to a realization of what they stand on and what we stand on. No creed but Christ, no book but the Bible. I believe a large percentage of the people in even New Testament churches are ashamed of strong doctrine. Around America today, old-fashioned, straight-shooting preachers like yours truly tries to be, we're being pushed farther and farther back into the woods all the time. Most of these fancy-dan preachers that come out of these colleges wouldn't touch a preacher like me with a 10-foot pole. It might upset their agenda, and their agenda is to take over the church and get rid of the older people and lead people down the contemporary line. And my friends, I want to say that contemporary just is not wrong just because it's contemporary. And I'm not going to say everything contemporary is wrong, but generally speaking, contemporary is doing a job in destroying strong biblical Christianity. And so you better be alert to contemporary. It's not all bad, but generally it leads people astray from taking a strong stand for New Testament Christianity. I want to thank those of you that have been praying for us recently. Recently we had a revival trip where we had 6 revival meetings in 5 weeks. And we've just finished the camp meeting in Georgia, finished a revival meeting in Versailles, Indiana. We've got meetings in Withville, Virginia, and then we've got one in Snow Hill, Maryland. That may close us out for the year. But I'm thankful, 76 years of age and all, I'm thankful to be on the road booking meetings now for 2010, 2011, and we're going to keep on booking until the Lord fixes it so we can't book anymore, and we'll come to your church. I don't care what kind of church it is. I don't care what it's called. I'll not come to you preaching denominationalism. I will come to you, and I hope you can stand it. I'll just preach to you Christianity, book, chapter, and verse right out of the Bible, and you can keep the money. I won't come for the money. I'll just come to preach the everlasting gospel of Jesus. We're closing up now our study on the subject of baptism. We got one more passage to deal with after we leave this one in 1 Peter and chapter 3. It is really something to look at these passages, and I'm thankful for what the Holy Spirit has said. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3 that in Noah's day, 8 souls were saved by water, and like that, baptism saves us today. And if your mind is open, there's no doubt what that means. How were 8 souls saved by water? How does it compare with water and baptism saving us today? Well, the water washed away the sins of the world in Noah's day. The waters of baptism wash away your sins today. That is, it's the blood when you're buried in the water. The Bible says, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. My, that causes the Calvinists to turn red, green, blue, and black, but they'll explain that away. They'll explain that away. It's a shame to be more loyal to faith-only doctrine than you are the Bible. It's a shame to be more loyal to Calvin than you are the Bible. It's a shame to be more loyal to denominational doctrine than the Bible. Friends, I don't care who says it. Grandma, grandpa, mom, wife, son, daughter. I don't care who says it. If it's not biblical, it's wrong. And so, do you love the Bible or do you love the Word of God? Do you love the Word of God enough? Enough to take a stand, even if you have to stand contrary to hand-me-down traditional moonshine bootleg religious doctrines that your family has held for 20 years. Grandma can't save you. My friends, your grandma won't hold your hand on the judgment day. Good old Ma won't hold your hand on the judgment day. Thank God for grandmothers and mothers that are standing for the truth. But many grandmothers and many mothers have led their children astray, have led them astray from the truth. We talk about Mother's Day, and we talk about Father's Day, and I'm thankful for old-fashioned mothers. I'm thankful for old-fashioned fathers. But there's been more mothers and more fathers that have led their family astray when it comes to the Bible than mothers and fathers that have led them in the right way. It's uncomfortable sometimes to face up to the truth, but the truth is the truth. Okay. The Bible says 8 souls were saved by water. Baptism saves us like that. If that's not plain, I don't know how to say it. The Bible says in Acts 2:38, that says it all. Peter said, repent. Listen to this. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they'll try to explain that away. They'll say you're baptized because your sins have been forgiven. That means because of. You go back to the 16th or the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew. Jesus shed His blood for the remission of sins. It's the same grammatical construction. Did Jesus shed His blood because their sins were already forgiven? No. And we're not baptized either because our sins are already forgiven. It's the same construction in the King's English, and it means the same. Jesus died and shed His blood for the remission of sins, and we're baptized for the remission of sins. I want to read a couple of alternate translations here, and then we'll go on to 1 John for what I believe will be our last passage. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, here's what the Bible says. I have in my hand 26 translations of the New Testament. I treasure this volume more than just about any volume I have except the Bible. This is 26 translations of the New Testament. And my friends, before the modern English translations, the Bible was produced and the world had the Bible for over 1,000 years. Now, this might sound contradictory. Listen to me. The world had a Bible to read and souls were saved before the King James was ever heard of. And I'm not a part of the King James cult. And it's a shame that that cult has really caused problems in the churches. for the people that are more loyal to the King James than they are the plan of salvation. Now, I preach out of the King James, but the Apostle Paul never heard it. The Apostle Peter never heard it. My friends, it's the Word of God that's inspired. And just because the Baptists want to keep the King James because it uses the word predestination and so forth and so on, don't be caught up in that field of a King James cult or any other kind of cult. It's the Bible which is the Word of God. And let's not insult people that have some kind of another Bible. Let's sit down with them and teach them how to be saved out of their own Bible. Not very long ago, there was a lady that came into church, and I saw her. She cleaned herself up, and she really had been out in the world. She'd been living in sin, and finally she got interested in the Lord, but she bought the wrong kind of Bible and came for the first time cleaned up with that Bible in the services, and somebody jumped on her because of the Bible that she had. Friends, listen. I can take any Bible that's produced in America and give you the plan of salvation in it. And while I preach from the King James in my revival meetings, I'm encouraging people not to be radical, be part of a King James cult. I want you to stand for the truth, the Word of God. It's a good translation, and souls have been saved through it, but there's other translations too, and there's Indian translations, and there's German translations, and the world, most of the world's never heard of the King James. Besides, King James wasn't a Christian, and there wasn't one born-again Bible-believing Christian on the committee that translated it. But God saved us and produced it, and so thank God for the King James. Thank God for any translation that upholds the Word of the living God. The Bible here says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, and back to this volume I have here, 26 translations of the New Testament. It gives various alternate translations. The Bible says in the King James, and that's a good translation. And I'm not knocking it. I'm just warning you not to be a part of a cult and trying to insult somebody that tries to live for the Lord and they come in with some other Bible. The Bible says here in 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Now listen to what the New English Bible says. This water prefigured the water of baptism, through which you are now brought to safety. Here's another translation, Weymouth. And corresponding to that figure, baptism now saves you. That's the Weymouth translation. Here's the 20th century New Testament. And baptism, which is foreshadowed, now saves you. That's a good one. Here's Moffat. Baptism, the counterpart of that, saves you today. And so here we have all of these translations saying the same thing. And so the Bible is the Word of God, no matter what translation, no matter what language. And I say, praise God for everything that the Bible is plainly saying to us. Well, we're going to have to save 1 John chapter 5, beginning with verse 7. This will be our last passage, I believe, that we'll be dealing with in the New Testament on the subject of baptism. And that gives us time here to deal with the invitation. The invitation is for you sheep out there. The invitation is for you that are Christians to repent if you need to repent. In our revival meetings anymore, I've not been starting out trying to get people baptized. I've been dealing with the sheep. Isn't that what a revival is all about? Trying to get the sheep to repent, trying to get the sheep to be revived, trying to get the sheep to be set on fire, and then trying to get people that have not repented and been baptized to be saved by believing and being baptized. And then that's not the end. You must be faithful unto death. You must meet around the Lord's table. You must be what God would have you to be. Let's close with prayer. Father, as we close the broadcast today, I pray that your great and glorious will be done. And I pray that people will receive with meekness the truth that can save them. In Jesus' name, amen.